It's a beautiful morning to be rocking. Maybe not in a wagon wheel, but rocking chair on the porch in the morning with a cup of coffee. I could go for that.
Especially this morning when you woke up, you mentioned how cool it was.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Again, fall's the best time in Arizona. The others are great, but that's the best time, guys.
That's why we live here. Yeah.
That's right.
Texture has a 24-inch box. They planted a Fantex ash about 8 weeks ago, and they got it as a 24-inch box tree. It's on drip. There's a 4-foot well. Approximately on the drip, they water it twice a week with 60 gallons each watering. Haven't fertilized yet, just some Super Thrive. I'm guessing that's a product.
Super Thrive.
Yep. Okay.
Yep.
Leaves are curling with brown ends and have lost some leaves. And then obviously just followed with a few question marks, wants to know what to do to resolve.
Okay. And this is a real common question and a real common consulting issue that we deal with a lot. First, when I hear 60 gallons per watering twice a week, maybe that's something a nursery or somebody told them to water it a certain way like that. But depending on the area, there's a couple different issues that could be going on. Number one, all new trees, especially a 15-gallon or a 24-inch box tree, most landscape drip systems are set up to have either 2 2-gallon emitters or 3 2-gallon per hour emitters around that root ball and right over the root ball, because it usually comes in a mulch and that mulch can dry out very, very quickly. So with new trees, the drippers need to be right over the root ball. And that's that first year or so, at least, you want the drippers right over the root ball. So 60 gallons twice a week, it sounds like, you know, too much watering and too infrequently for a new tree. So with that setup I just told you, with either 2 2-gallon or 3 2-gallon, it really should be getting about 12 to 20 gallons per watering. But after you first planted it, it should have been more often. It should have been probably 3 times a week, and not allowing that root ball to dry out at all, and keeping that soil just moist enough, but not over soaked. So that's the number one thing I see, is that the watering was way off for a brand new tree. And we did have some pretty warm weather there over the last few weeks. The second thing is, every time I go on these consulting jobs, people have put the native soil over the root ball. So I go and there's 2 to 4 inches of backfill soil that went over the root ball, thinking they're going to insulate that in or whatever, just not thinking. And they put the dirt over the actual mulch root ball that it was grown in. It's very critical that when you plant new trees, you plant them at grade or just above grade. They say about 10% above grade. So it allows the tree room to settle over time, because it's going to water and soak, and that mulch is going to break down. It's going to decompose. So plant it properly and do not put a bunch of dirt over the top of the root ball, because what happens is it does insulate the root ball, and a lot of times it doesn't allow the moisture to go down in through the root ball. Instead, it fills up that native soil like a crust on the top layer, and it may look wet. It may look like, hey, we're getting plenty of water here. But when you scrape that off, those 2 or 3 inches of dirt, and I just had a big one at a city park like this, there was 4 inches of extra dirt, and the trees were getting really sickly, just like sounds exactly like yours are. And it was really critical that they get all that dirt off of there so they can see the actual mulch ball and monitor the water in the mulch ball that it's grown in. Those first couple years, the root system is just used to being in that mulch ball. So the water will wick around it through that top layer of dirt if you don't get rid of it, and it will not go all the way through the root ball. So it's critical when you're having problems like this to get a soil probe, make sure there's no dirt on top of the root ball first, get out of there, and then check with the soil probe down through the root ball and make sure what the moisture level is in there. It should be a little bit moist pretty much all the time for a new tree, but not over wet and not bone dry. A lot of times I see this and they're bone dry. Second thing is, when you push that down all the way, what we get sometimes in our soils is what we call the teacup effect. You plant it in there, you sound like you did everything. You got this nice big hole. You got a 4-foot ring. You did all that right. But maybe is the water, is there hard pan at the bottom, and the water is down there at the bottom and causing problems with too much water at the bottom of the pit. because it takes time for it to go through. It might go through the mulch ball real quick if that's working, properly and it's not covered. But then it gets to the bottom and it just sits there. So you won't know until you get a probe and push down in there. If it's really muddy at the bottom, again, watering way too much. Okay, if it's dry at the bottom, then you have really good drainage and you're not watering enough frequently. You don't need 60 gallons, but you need to increase the frequency. Now, here's the kicker. We're changing weather since you planted it quickly. So again, you'd probably be more like 12 gallons per watering, 12 to 15 gallons, maybe not 20. But again, you're going to want to decrease the frequency as these nights get cooler and cooler, and just use a moisture probe from now here on out and check that. And I think your tree will be okay if you make those adjustments.
That tree probe, soil probe, I actually bought one that specifically said on it as a tool, tree probe or soil probe.
Right.
I keep saying tree probe, but it's for
you can order one
trees.
Online. Yeah.
That makes a big difference.
Huge difference. Yeah.
You know, in the past, a flathead screwdriver that was
sure.
about
did I use growing up? Yeah.
You know, that this soil probe's 4 feet long,
right.
It's amazing when we go. You know, for one or two trees, the screwdriver was fine, but we've got 50, and that adds a lot of time.
It does, and remember that if you've got a 24-inch box, it's about 2 feet deep. You need something that goes at least 2.5 feet deep so you can kind of push it. So a lot of them have a foot peg on it. You can push down, get some more leverage, get it down in there. And again, you want to go not too close to the trunk. You want it to be in the root ball. Maybe at the edge of the root ball would be great to do your soil probe, you know, right either just inside the root ball or right at the edge. Get it all the way down in there and check that. I think you'll be surprised.
And the story that the soil will tell you when you're with that probe is pretty interesting.
It is. Another point I want to make is the Fantex Active. Remember, young trees, they lose their leaves faster than a mature tree. So young trees or compromised trees lose their leaves first. So as these nights get cooler, you're not going to be able to tell much. That's why it's really important to check your moisture. It's not going to need a lot of water as the leaves continue to drop. You don't want it soaking all the time. It will kill it. So check that out. But remember, you're not going to be able to tell about the health very much until next spring and early summer when it really starts picking up again, because they are going to start looking yellow and dropping leaves, and that's just part of the process as well, the natural growing process.
And then Super Thrive, the last thing. What is that?
Yeah, and you know, they were doing the same thing on the landscaper at the city park, was pounding the Super Thrive or B, it's, you know, the B vitamins, it's the transplant stuff, Super Thrive, and they were putting it in. They got him on the phone, and they told me how much they were giving the Super Thrive. And I said, really, I believe that's only 1/4 teaspoon per gallon, and you really only do it once maybe when you transplant the tree, and it's not something you keep putting on the tree. Is it toxic? Probably most of the time, no, but anything can be toxic if it's used improperly. I mean, it comes, you know, usually in a bottle for you to dilute that, and so anything like that is really not good. It doesn't need much other than maybe one time or for a stress tree one time.
And you do see that nurseries pushing that bee.
It is. It's really good. It's amazing. You know, it helps with transplant shock, especially in the summer and things like that. But if it's used properly, you got to follow directions. And that a lot of people think more is good or whatever. I don't know how much they're putting on, but I'd be real careful with that.
On our Talking Trees points, you had mentioned fertilizing earlier, and I did a little bit for our citrus. That's something that, until John came along, I'd never seen 4 times a year. It was always the Valentine's Day, Labor Day, and Memorial Day. John's calendar has 4 fertilizers. He likes to hit it a 4th time.
He does, yeah. And, well, it was just four is because of our growing season here. So a lot of times we have this extended growing season because we have really mild winters. So 4 actually works a lot of times. Now, as part of the Save a Tree organization, which is amazing, we have national people that work nationally for all the latest and greatest technology on plant health care, and we work hand in hand with them. And we have all our new programs are formulated on a 3-cycle system, kind of more like the old school system. And so now we're back to the, again, early, mid, and late season. But, you know, avid gardeners, depending on the weather and what's going on, certainly doesn't hurt to put something else on, as again, as long as you're following the directions. And again, in our late season fertilizer, what, you know, it's all formulated specifically so we start reducing the nitrogen in the later the season, because we don't need a lot of material to green up the foliage or cause, you know, help with new growth and things like that. So you're lowering the nitrogen as the year goes on in that late season, usually, depending on the situation and what tree type and what we're treating. But the nitrogen's reduced and other things are increased, like your phosphorus and potassium that help with the roots.
Because those roots, even though, you know, a deciduous tree might be
dormant,
those roots are still active.
Right.
And on citrus, this is actually when we get most of our fruit production in the winter.
Yeah, and you know, and I'm glad you brought that up again, because I forgot to mention that you know, be careful on your pruning. We were talking about that earlier, again, but it's still very important to prune, because when that fruit comes on, you know, this week I was at a few jobs, that fruit comes on, those branches get really heavy. And they notoriously break off when they get too heavy, and that causes, we always want to prune, not allow things to break. Clean cut, you know, so we limit the amount of decay that goes on. So yeah, there's a lot of fruiting going on, and it helps with that, of course, as well. It takes a lot of energy for anything to bloom and fruit. It takes, you know, again, just like an athlete who's training, they need more vitamins and minerals. It's the same for a tree. When they're really stressed, you do need more.
One of our lemon trees looks like a weeping willow, and one of my to-dos this weekend is go take about 15% of the fruit, and I just drop it on the ground and let it fertilize back in. And
if you don't have rodents, but if you have a lot of rodents, there's a lot of desert rats, and they'll love that. They'll bring, so yeah, I'd be careful with that, or cultivate it in. You know, smash them up and cultivate it in. Yeah,
I mean, I don't have time for smashing them in on our tree, but we do. We just let the fruit drop go, and we've got a couple cats that do great with rodent control, and. But just the amount of fruit that it puts on is incredible.
Oh, yeah. Again, I was at a couple this week where I said, you know, ma'am, you know, I know you want to wait, but it's nothing about sales. Your tree's going to break. You know, you need to, if you don't have us do it or somebody do it, you need to come out and do it. You know, I showed her where you can cut back to little laterals, but get some of that weight off. Or like you said, pick a lot of fruit, or even early. You don't need all that fruit usually. So even if you thin the fruit out, it's kind of healthy for the tree. If you've got a big crop, you can thin some of it out and more nutrients will go to what's left.
And what I love about citrus is it'll stay ripe on the tree for a long period of time. You know, when you're coming to our peaches, we got a real short harvest time but citrus, man, go pick four or five off and squeeze it for the morning orange juice or grapefruit. You know, you just, as you consume it, you're picking it, because it's 2, 3, 4 months sometimes it'll stay ripe on the tree.
And I learned many years ago, I think it was from Glenn Wright from U of A Extension. He has amazing information on citrus. You can look that up if you want to learn a lot more. Look up U of A, I think it's Glenn Wright. And he puts out a bunch of fact sheets and things like that. But citrus doesn't have to be the perfect color to be ripe. So you just need to check it.